Hello, everyone. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM, and this is the time of the week where I talk with you guys and try to explain and maybe talk about some random stuff that I read, and some stuff that I find interesting, and some stuff that's really close to my heart. And for today, I think I'll save my talking for other things a little bit, but I'm definitely going to play some great music as always, because I feel that's great. I don't know if you guys feel that, but I feel that's great. So some good music, and maybe talking about some other interesting research findings that I have been looking at, and some life updates, I guess. I don't know. And we'll start off with the usual, which is Eva's music. So she is a Canadian singer and songwriter, and I am going to play the first song, which is Truthfully, on her album called Truthfully. So let's go with that. So that was Truthfully by Eva, and I'm just going to stop there for a second, the playlist that I've decided for today, and maybe just do the land acknowledgement that I completely forgot to do, so my apologies for that. So I want to acknowledge that I'm co-hosting hosting from the SFU's Burnaby campus, which is located on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Kwakutlem, Musqueam, and the Squamish Nations. And I'm really thankful to be able to conduct my research, volunteer, talk, and study on these lands. So what I was thinking as the song was playing, some things that I have been working on throughout this week and maybe a couple of days over the long weekend. I've been looking at a lot of like science fiction stuff and seeing how the things that are depicted in science fiction, not only books but also like movies, games, and all those different sorts of medias, how they kind of work to create vision for the future, how they galvanize imagination, how they in turn talk to us through this imagination and help us and like push us to sort of think about the future in some different ways as those authors or those screen playwrights would imagine. And one of the examples, I think, of like a recent movie that would be like Everything All at Once, which was a Oscar-winning movie, which tried to like bridge this time travel thing with some of the social issues that are happening right now. And like, it's not like science fiction in its complete sense, but it's like creating this imaginative space where there is like no sort of or different understanding of how time works, how world shapes itself, and so on and so forth. But still, we see those social stigmas around the main protagonist and the work that she has to do, and she has to do the inner work and all those different themes, which have been really nicely portrayed in the movie, is like one example that I can think of. The other one is, I forget what's the name of it, but it's the time travel movie, which is like very famous. If I see the name of it, I'll just remember, but like I can't remember it right now. So essentially the time travel movies like talk about how we can like transgress this idea of how time works and like go into some other world and see how things worked or might work if we didn't have the concept or like the concept of time and space was different as to what we imagine them as. So yeah, definitely Terminator is one of those examples, where Star Trek is one of them as well in some ways, Edge of Tomorrow, Back to the Future. I've seen a lot of sci-fi movies, I think, looking at these lists. So I've not found the one that I was talking, that I had in mind, but I guess I make the point that movies in a way, especially like time travel and like sci-fi movies, tend to create a new idea of what world system could look like. So that's the sort of things that I have been looking at and trying to understand what these movies depict and how we as people or audiences try to understand and what sort of ideals we draw from when we watch such movies. And if there is a way in which we can look at time and look at issues from a different angle and think about solving them, maybe perhaps in a different way as we are doing, because the problems and the issues that we are in today are inherently structural problems, be it in the form of white supremacy or colonialization and so on. Climate change is one of those, which is rooted in both capitalism and colonialism. So all these issues need radical changes, which means that we as a collective need to come together to perform certain actions and demand certain things. But I think movies like these give like sort of like a new outlet, so to say, to describe or think about the futures and so on and so forth. Yeah, so that's the kind of literature that I've been looking at and seeing what we could draw from in the ways these collective actions or communities are formed, and how can we like understand or shape them in like wider public practical sense, and just not like in these movies. So there is a lot of effort that needs to go definitely into fleshing out the ideas that I have at my end, but the sort of motive is understanding how these sci-fi imaginaries would shape or could shape how we understand about not just time, space, but also like our society as a structure. So yeah, that's the kind of things that I'm looking at. And I will stop talking for a little bit and play the next song, which is again by Eva. So I'm going to play a lot of Eva and Taylor Swift music today, so be prepared for that. Okay, let's go with Honeycomb is a good one. Okay, let's go with Honeycomb, and then I'll get back to talking about Miley Sedgemore. Yay.
Sick of being sweet, sick of showing tea. I'm aiming every way, watch out for my ricochet. Usually the quiet one, today I'm feeling wide awake. A brand new shade, tired of holding back my time.
Unquenchable.
So you were listening to some of the back-to-back great and super favorite of mine, artist Eva's songs, and you were listening to Last Drop. And I will be playing another music that has been really on repeat on both my Spotify and my YouTube. Yes, I use YouTube to listen to music because, unlike Spotify's free version, on YouTube, I can play the song as many times as I want. And I don't have to go through that weird ad, which I cannot skip. So, yes, I like YouTube more than Spotify for listening music. I know it's a little bit old school, but I like it that way. Also, I like to see videos playing just randomly on my phone because, like, yeah, I don't know, I just enjoy YouTube more. Yeah. And I am too broke of a student here to buy any premiums. So just to listen music, I'm not going to give those big corporations that money that doesn't even go appropriately to the artists. So yes. In terms of the famous sci-fi movie that I was thinking of in my mind just before playing the songs was Interstellar, because obviously that was like one of my favorite movies of all time as a teenager or something, because yeah, this whole idea of like world ending, you're running away, saving the world kind of thing, I really enjoyed that. But what interesting research that I found recently is as to how people react to those ideas and how the ship and think about and just talk or understand as to what these movies depict and what we can draw from there, both as the people who are creating these movies and all this media, and also as media scholars ourselves, to see what we can do to better educate ourselves, because we don't want to just enter into this world of like gloom and doom and dying and death and suffering and all those crime and thriller movies. Yeah, we need something more that actually in some ways mobilizes people to take the action, take the right step, I guess. That's the goal here. But as I promised, today I'll be talking about it less. And I will keep my talking reserved for the Speak Up show that I will be hosting on Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. But now I'll play two songs, one of them definitely on my repeat. And yes, we'll see how much time we have, and maybe I'll just go more into some of these concepts and like how, as people studying media and communications, try to understand how popular culture and media affects things, I guess, is the point that I'm getting at. So yeah, the impact factor or something. Yes, I'll stop talking right there, and I will play, actually I will not tell the name so you guys guess by the beats.
I'm perfectly fine, I live on my own. I made up my mind, I'm better off being alone. We met a few weeks ago, now you try on calling me baby like trying on clothes. You move to me, I'm your American queen, and you move to me like I'm a Motown bee, and rule the kingdom inside my room. Cause all the boys and their expensive cars, with the Range Rovers and the Jaguars, never took me quite where you do. And all at once, you are the one I have been waiting for. King of my heart, body and soul, ooh, oh. And all at once, you're all I want, I'll never let you go. King of my heart, luxury. You move to me, I'm your American queen, and you move to me like I'm a Motown bee, and we rule the kingdom inside my room. Cause all the boys in their expensive cars, with the Range Rovers and the Jaguars, never took me quite where you do.
Where you do?
And all at once, you are the one I have been waiting for. King of my heart, body and soul. Ooh, oh. And all at once, you are.
I really can't like comprehend the fact that this album was like released in 2017, so that was like a long time ago, like yeah. So, and it was also like this song particularly, I remember, was nominated for the Oscars. It didn't end up getting one. Not Oscars, sorry. I'm talking about movies today, so I said Oscars. I mean Grammy. So yeah, it was nominated for the Grammys, but didn't end up getting one. So there was like a lot of conversation in like what we call the 50s groups that, you know, why I didn't end up getting and like all those sorts of things. So yeah, I was kind of disappointed too when I thought about this and I was like, why didn't get, but yeah, anyways, that's not the point of, because with Grammys as well and all those like music awards, there's a lot of stuff that is happening, and definitely I should not be saying that Taylor Swift did not get a Grammy and that's a big deal. It's not. Because there are so many good deserving artists out there who are not valued because they don't align with certain publishers are for books, so whatever the contemporary is for music, I guess that's what I'm getting at. So yeah, they are not funded by big companies and big record labels, I guess, so they never make it to these out of proportion blown award events. And then yeah, that's a sad state of how this industry and like many other industries work, even like in books and stuff, like a lot of like good pieces of literature never make it to, let's say, the Pulitzer Prizes, because either the writer does not come from a Western Eurocentric lens, or I know it's opening, it's getting better, but there are so many layers that still need to be undone with how we consume media in general that might be in the way of music or sci-fi movies, as I was talking about, and yeah, all those things. And just to like, I guess because my lot of like conversations on this radio has been about tackling the problem of like climate change communication, that's the sort of thing that I'm trying to do here with my open mic slots. And how I ended up at sci-fi is a good question. And I also don't know how I ended up here, but like I think it's a super interesting space, because as I do with all other things, sci-fi again can be connected back to climate change and like those imaginaries that we have for the future. And I think, yes, my work would look at something that connects these utopian movie spaces with climate change stuff, because as I probably have mentioned multiple times now, is that there is a lot of doomism which is associated with climate change, that oh, the world is ending and all that stuff. And that's important because that shows the sense of urgency which is highly required, but there also needs to be messaging for people who are already worried about it by like giving them the agency about things that they can actually do, so that they don't feel too overwhelmed to do anything. Climate anxiety, eco-anxiety, climate grief, these themes are also popping up because there's a certain subsection of the society which is being bombarded with all these information about you need to act now, you need to act now. That's not the case with all of us, because if that were the case, we would not be at this place right now. But that's not the case, and we need to still continue talking about climate change in a crisis mode, but we also need to be mindful that some people already understand that, and what they need at this moment is more agency and more connection with this movement, quote unquote, to say. So unpacking those different threads of communication, so in the sense that not just portraying the issue as just a crisis, but also more like a crisis that